Welcome to Acorn to Oak, a tree podcast rooted in real stories and growing knowledge from soil to canopy. Welcome back to Acorn to Oak. I'm Stephanie Boucher, and today we're diving into one of the most high-risk and highly skilled aspects of modern arboriculture, crane work. Joining us today is ISA-certified arborist Joe Rainwater, founder of RISE, a company focused on crane education and training within the tree industry. Joe has spent years operating cranes, working alongside climbers and crews in some incredibly technical situations, and helping push safety and education forward in arboriculture. In this episode, we talk about Joe's path into the industry, what it's really like operating a crane during tree removals, the mental pressure, and the risks that come with the job, and why he ultimately decided to focus on teaching and training others. Whether you're an arborist, crane operator, climber, or someone who's just fascinated by the behind-the-scenes world of tree work, this conversation gives an honest look into the precision, trust, and responsibility that crane work demands every single day. So, let's get into it. Here's our conversation with Joe Rainwater. Hey, Joe, it's good to have you here. How you doing today?
Fantastic. It's so good to be back and see all you guys.
Yeah, it's nice to have you back in the Bluestone headquarters.
Yeah, I remember moving into this building. It was really something.
Nice. Yeah. How long were you with Bluestone?
At least 8 years, but my history with Jared and Tiffany goes back way beyond that.
Okay.
I don't know, skip out of order or get the story or anything, but I did my own thing, tree service, was actually working with Designscape out of Nashville, Indiana. We had a bucket truck. I was the tree guy. Simon Normile got us started there, and then he left. So then I got promoted. Mm-hmm. I was the tree guy, so I got my certified arborist, 20 years ago was. I've been a certified arborist for 20 plus years. So I'm doing the tree stuff and did really good with removals, but didn't take care of myself so well. And client comes over after I finished a really scary tree that had me all worried all day. And, hey, can you bid my tree? I've been watching out my window. You did great. I'm like, sure. So I hop out of the bucket. I go to run across the catwalk to get to the ladder. Mm-hmm. I got vertigo because I probably hadn't drank water, ate food, anything mm-hmm. like that. And I went to jump off the truck because it's better to jump than fall when you get vertigo. So I jump. What I didn't see was a metal T-post. And I took that metal T-post to my safety glasses as I jumped off the truck from about 8 foot tall.
Oh, wow.
And so I got injured pretty bad, cracked skull, 2 broken wrists, knocked my foot off. They had to put my foot back on. So I was out of commission for a good long while.
Mm-hmm.
But during my recovery, I went to a free arborist training up at one of the local vendors. And I sat down at the last empty seat with my walker. I shuffle in and I'm kind of an extrovert. I'm like, hi, I'm Joe. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
It's Jared Oren. So I met Jared because I broke myself. And then I subcontracted him in to finish all the jobs I had sold that year.
Okay.
And we worked together that year.
Okay.
And we hit it off. If you know Jared, he's a hoot. We had so much fun working together.
So this was still when you're at Designscape?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I when I met you, we have a mutual friend. Yeah, I thought you were the mechanic at Designscape.
I was.
Okay, yeah.
But see, with a small business, so we can go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew I wanted to work with my hands.
Okay.
I always knew that I'm not a inside person so much. So when I was in high school, I needed gas money.
Mm-hmm.
I had a 66 Mustang that my dad and I restored, and it was $400, so it was hideous. It was 6 different colors, but it was my baby, and I needed gas money. So my first job in high school, I got my license. The next week, I started at a Husqvarna chainsaw dealership.
Oh, wow.
And so school would get out at 3. At 3:30, I had to be at work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked at this Husqvarna dealership. And anything that I get into, I've realized now since I've kind of been diagnosed, I deep dive heavily into anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a superpower. So whatever I'm working on, I research everything about it. I read the manuals. I love reading owner's manuals. It's kind of my little thing.
You might be the only one. Yeah.
Seriously. And we can get into my training stuff later, I'll fly in and people have had their $1 million crane for 2 years and the owner's manual is still in the plastic wrap.
Oh, wow.
And it blows me away.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was my background. Like, I knew I wanted to do stuff. I wanted to, you know, work on things. I love engines. I love puzzles. And then at a small business, you do whatever needs done.
Mm-hmm.
Clean toilets, fix the roof, you know, whatever it is. Well, Simon needed help. His guy doesn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
I go out and I learn how to run ropes.
Okay.
And then Simon has some weekend jobs. I'm like, dude, climbing is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Can you teach me how to climb trees? And he's like, yeah, because he's tired of doing all the work.
Yeah, yeah.
So he teaches me how to climb trees. So Simon Ormal taught me how to climb. And then when Simon left, Dan Glusenkamp, you know, one of the most amazing human beings I've ever met, you know, mentor, I owe so much to him. He's like, hey, will you do the arborist stuff until I hire another arborist?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 16 years later, he still hadn't hired an arborist because they hadn't found somebody to replace me. So I actually hired mechanics to work under me.
Okay.
Like, my dad worked for me because, you know, you get anybody you can get. And my dad was actually better than me and customers loved him. But,
yeah.
You know, so we ran a Skag dealership. We had chainsaws we sold, all that kind of thing. But I kind of worked myself out of being a mechanic into the tree industry. And it's so mechanized now that being able to do your own repairs on site
mm-hmm.
makes you infinitely more efficient when it comes to doing the work.
Yeah.
Because if you're on a job and say your stump grinder breaks down, well, you can't finish the job.
Yeah.
99 out of 100 times, I'll just fix it and we'll go back to work.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So like if
skill to have.
I'm still watching Chase. So Chase took over my truck. I trained him how to run my baby, mm-hmm. Kendra, the 88 tall finger crane. He's still putting up on his story, hey, fix the crane. You had all the parts I needed to fix it after I broke it. And it's like that.
No.
I love being self-sufficient. And you know, at some point we'll get into like one of my bigger flaws is the inability to say no.
Yeah.
Like, if you give me a job, I'm going to do it. And for a lot of years, I would do it no matter what.
Yeah.
And that led to, like, you know,
working
too many hours, stressing myself out. I did have hair when I started this job. Now I just have this perfectly shaped, beautiful bald head.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of the history of how I worked my way into this.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I get that saying no thing can be difficult. And I tend to get a little overwhelmed because I have a hard time with it because everything sounds so fun, right?
it does. And, you know, when Bluestone would assign me a list of jobs, you know, we would average like 3 to 5 jobs a day. It's like, I hate making more work for other people. So mm-hmm. if you send me to do a job, I don't want to make the sales guys have to reschedule it to not make it complete. So, you know, people in billing can't bill it. Like, I want to finish the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I hold myself to a very high standard that I've got to get this done. They're counting on me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go there and I say I can't do it, well, now I've made work for somebody else.
Yeah.
And I hate doing that. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, the tree industry, to me, when you're selling a job,
mm-hmm.
you're basically, the Bluestone Tree is assuming risk. Okay, so the client has a hazard tree. They get 5 different bids.
Mm-hmm.
They can range from $200 to $10,000. And it's how comfortable are you with the risk involved in taking that tree apart?
Yeah.
We used to joke on the cruise about, you know, the $20 wild card special. 20 bucks, we'll just put a cut in it.
Yeah.
Whichever way it goes, it goes.
Yeah.
Or we can use this, you know, $1 million crane, and we can use all the decades of experience, and we can dismantle it in a safe way where we know that nobody's going to get injured and the property is all going to be fine and we're not going to tear up a blade of grass.
Mm-hmm.
Where in that spectrum is your comfort level as a client?
Yeah. No, that's a great way to put it.
And if we do our jobs well, we get done really quick and it looks really easy, and you're like, why did it cost so much? You guys made it look easy. Well, if you hire the $20 guy, he might make it look really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want that?
Yeah. Also, after that conversation, I can see where being a mechanic, your mindset with even tree work is there, where you're talking about, like, you're breaking down, like, all the different scenarios, and just like, you know, like what you could do to like repair the equipment as well as how the many different ways you could take down that tree.
I've got videos. I'll see if I can dig them up. I can send you all kinds of stuff, but like the fan belt on the stump grinder broke and it's the last job of the day on a Friday. So I just got three guys with backpack blowers to blow the air through the radiator and it would spin the fan on the engine that turned the water pump.
That's awesome.
And we finished the job because you don't send me somewhere to fail. You send me somewhere to be successful and leave with the client happy that everything's done. We came in, we were there 4 hours, and now it's peaceful and beautiful, and that hazard tree that they were worried was going to fall on them and hurt them in the middle of the night is gone.
Yeah.
And they can have a relaxing weekend, and we're not coming back, you know, and leaving a piece of equipment in the yard. Like, we finished the job.
Yeah. So I know today we're talking about, you know, about crane work and just, you know, safety in general, but I do want the audience to know a little bit about you, which is, you know, what we're doing here. You have an interesting beginning to manual labor in general. You do have a degree, correct?
I do. I have a degree in computer aided design and manufacturing that I got after 3 years at IU in the physics department.
Yeah.
But my wife had a full scholarship. I was borrowing money. 3 years into that degree, I met with my advisor and I said, so what kind of job am I going to get with this physics degree? And I love physics. I love math.
Yeah.
Like, we can geek out on math.
Well, it's obvious that, you know, you are using that. I mean, everything you're doing in the tree industry, like having that physics degree is so important, and your judgment and just how you know how to take down a tree, especially with a crane, right? I mean, every move is so important.
Oh, and it's so much fun. You know, as a person who likes puzzles, dismantling a hazard tree is it's the ultimate puzzle.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. But, you know, I met with my advisor and they said, well, you got to go to the School of Ed and start taking some classes or you'll do graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
So I made what was probably a terrible decision. I quit.
I don't think it was. I mean,
I love what I do now.
Yeah, it's like, you love what you do.
I wouldn't change anything, but, you know, it's one of those things. Now I teach.
Yeah.
Now I teach for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found the greatest joy is teaching.
Yeah.
And helping the industry become safer.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. When you started out in crane work, what does it look like from the beginning even to today in just that amount of time?
So as a climber, before we got into knuckle boom cranes, and there's really two kinds of cranes. There's American style cranes, which are stick boom cranes, and there are European cranes that are knuckle boom cranes. I had never seen a knuckle boom crane before. And when we first started doing crane removals, even the crane operators had never done trees with cranes. So what we would do is we would just get a crane that was way bigger than we needed. That way we don't accidentally tip it over.
Yeah.
We would climb up there. We would put one strap around the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would climb down until the crane operator said, yeah, I think that's big enough. And then we would cut that piece and try and hide in the tree as all hell broke loose because we didn't have it balanced right. The center of gravity wasn't right. The piece sometimes would rotate, turn over. It's trying to hit you. It was really scary. Crane work in the late 90s, early 2000s, like we didn't know what we didn't know.
Yeah. For just like the average person listening, could you explain visually the difference between the American and European cranes? Oh. Like what they look like?
Okay. So an American style crane, the boom... it's mounted long ways along the truck's chassis, and it basically just comes up out of a cradle, and it telescopes out, and it has a hook on the end of a wire rope, and all the loads are attached to that hook on the wire rope, and the operator sits inside of a cab and moves the levers to operate the crane. They're really strong. They're not terribly expensive compared to a lot of things, but... when we get into knuckle boom cranes, which are the European cranes, they fold up super small and compact. So in Europe, they don't have the real estate available that we do. So they have to have what they call truck loader cranes. They don't back a semi up to a loading dock and drive a forklift into it and unload. They don't have room for that.
Mm-hmm.
So when a semi gets to somewhere to unload, the little crane behind the cab will unfold and unload all those goods.
Okay.
Well, at some point, some enterprising American decided, wouldn't it be cool to take that crane and put a chainsaw on the end of the boom so that I didn't have to climb anymore? And it's life-changing.
Yeah.
Because Jared Oren, you know, Bluestone Tree, he saw that on a forum called Tree Buzz, saw the first one that was built, and is like, this is the future. And I've got the email from him. He emailed me and said, I want to build a robot that cuts trees down. And I responded, yeah, it's never going to replace climbers, but mm-hmm. I'd love to see it when you build it.
Yeah.
So he built the third one in the United States.
Nice.
And then I was lucky enough that he called me, him and Graydon and Tiffany, trusted me to go out and run that truck.
Nice.
And then they built another bigger one.
Yeah.
And then they stayed on the cutting edge of this technology, because when you build the first one of anything, it's not
yeah.
great. It's
yeah.
a lot of work. We called her the Dirty 30. Like, she leaked oil. It was rough.
Yeah.
But we learned a lot about that truck. And then those guys built this 110. And I deserve zero credit for all these. Mm-hmm. All this is Bluestone Tree, mm-hmm. Jared and Graydon dreaming big and investing tons of hard work mm-hmm. and everything they had into moving the industry forward in a safer and more professional manner. I was just lucky enough to be there as a crane operator. So I got yeah. to geek out on the crane details.
Yeah, I want to hear about that very first cut you made. With that. What was that like?
So part of what inspired me to start a company to train knuckle boom crane operators with grapple saws is I got no training. It was a rain day, and they're like, hey, do you want to take Nate with you and go work on this tree at Jared's buddy's house? Like, we're not going to charge him, so if you make a big mess and it takes forever, you don't get it done, it's no big deal, because like, it's one of his police buddies.
Yeah.
So in a pouring rainstorm, Nate, two of his high school friends, and me go to a job. They build a little teepee out of plywood so that they're watching from undercover.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the biggest smile on my face. And I'm running a remote control tree cutting machine for the first time.
Yeah.
And I'm loving every minute of it. Now, I only lasted about 2 hours before I broke it bad enough I couldn't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Graydon put it back together for me. And I was pretty embarrassed that I broke it. But, back then, even the manufacturers wouldn't give training. It was something that they build cranes. They don't cut trees down.
Okay.
And so when they sold you the truck, they're like, thank you for your purchase. Goodbye.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Have fun.
Yeah.
And through the years, they're developed, and I'll go like one little layer deeper.
Mm-hmm.
There was a flaw in how the cranes were operated, and I invented a little part that made them easier to run, mm-hmm. more intuitive, more ergonomic. So Jared built that third one, like 2015, 16, somewhere in there. And I invented this part, and now I have sold over 1,000 of that part.
Nice.
So we have gone from, three cranes in the United States to over 1,000.
Oh, wow. And how many years?
In 9 years.
9 years. That's impressive.
So the industry went from, we have to have a human being leave the ground with mm-hmm. a chainsaw, which is a hazardous instrument on the ground.
Yeah.
To, mm-hmm. I can stand in the shade with a remote control.
Mm-hmm.
And safely cut the tree down from a distance where, worst case, there's damage to property or to the machine.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody goes home at night.
Yeah. You still send climbers up for rigging? Is that true?
We do. So at some point, the bar on your chainsaw is not big enough. Or for various reasons, you may want to... The shape of the tree sometimes isn't conducive to getting that metal hand with a chainsaw into it.
Okay.
And so you end up doing it old school. So... Mm-hmm. When I told you about generation one doing crane removals where we'd put a sling on it, one sling, mm-hmm. and then hope we balanced it and cut it and just hope that like it didn't hit us.
Yeah.
We've developed technologies now and skill sets to where we can put three rope slings mm-hmm. on any piece of wood, any top, cut it. And if you've done your job right, nothing moves. It
yeah.
is drama free. It makes for terrible YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
When you get on YouTube and you watch people take trees apart with cranes, all everybody wants to watch is these dramatic near misses
and
things
forth
moving.
And yeah.
No, when you do a job right, you can't tell it's been cut.
Yeah. So even with the climbers up there, if they're using their like chainsaw, the crane, is it stabilizing? Like
yes.
everything?
Nothing should move.
Yeah.
When
awesome.
I do my job right, my guy will cut it and I'll ask him on the radio, say, is it cut? And they're like, yeah, it's floating one chainsaw blade thickness from the trunk and you can't tell.
That's
when you've nailed it.
Yeah. So you might have said this, and I apologize if you did, but was Nancy a knuckle boom?
Yes.
Okay.
Nancy was a 33-ton Palfinger knuckle boom.
Okay.
And the problem there was the chainsaw attachment weighed like 800 and something pounds. Nancy could only pick up like 880 pounds when she reached out all the way. So
okay.
it was not quite the big enough truck to do it, but it proved the concept.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yep.
it proved that this idea will work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's life-changing. And back to like the training part of it.
Mm-hmm.
When we sold Nancy, The people that bought it negotiated that I come with it for a week to teach them how to run it. And that changed my life.
Yeah.
I went with the truck, and their climber had just had some sort of procedure done. He couldn't climb. Mm-hmm. So after 2 or 3 days, I forget how long it was, it's like, we've got to do this tree that we can't put the chainsaw head in because the way a shape is, and they need a climber. Mm-hmm. So I borrowed their climber's gear. The guy that I just have spent 2 days training how to run the crane is running the crane, and I'm in the tree cutting for him.
Nice.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel comfortable leaving these people with this piece of equipment, mm-hmm. knowing that they know how to do it and they'll be safe now. And it just gave me this peace.
Yeah, it's also like great teacher moment to like trust your student while your life is on the line, right?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's truly it. And now I've made it sound like all roses and rainbows and everything, but along the way, like, this is a whole maturing process and maturing in the industry. And there was a lot of really stressful times. And if you combine that with my personal flaw that I feel like I've worked through at this point, mm-hmm. but my greatest flaw was the inability to turn a job down. So I would go to jobs. I would end up stressing myself out because I would picture... Sometimes these cuts take 2 or 3 minutes. You're cutting really big wood. You're cutting 5,000-6,000-pound pieces. It's tied to the crane, and you've got this person who's one of your best friends. Mm-hmm. You spend more time with them than you do with your family because that's what you do. You go to work.
Yeah.
You know their parents. You know their kids. You know them. They're cutting. The whole time they're cutting, in my head, I'm seeing every potential way it could fail and they get hurt.
Yeah.
And so I, at one point, got so stressed out. It's like, I'm probably going to have a breakdown.
Yeah, like, I can imagine.
I'm every pick that we do, I have seen go wrong 100 ways and see somebody I really care for get hurt mm-hmm. in my imagination. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I swear I'm God's favorite. My wife, Christy, she is incredible and she's the smartest person I know. And she saw all that stress and mm-hmm. she saw that I was, you know, having trouble. Mm-hmm. And she said, "You're the right person for the job."
Yeah.
How about instead of picturing all the ways that it could go bad, why don't you just use all that knowledge and plan ways to avoid that failure?
Yeah.
Like if there is a failure, what do you do to make it work out? Mm-hmm. And so I changed the way I was picturing those things to successes mm-hmm. from failures, and my stress level went way down. Mm-hmm. You combine that with the leadership here at Bluestone. We would have meetings every morning. This is one of the biggest advancements that we made in our systems is we would do a 1-hour meeting every morning. The two supervisors would meet with the sales guys, would go over the jobs we're going to do. Graydon was here. And, you know, this is during that period where I was really stressed out. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know if I can keep going because, like, I'm really stressed out. And he's like, don't stress out. If it's not safe, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. So the owner of the company said, if it's not safe, don't do it. And then we use a software, I can't remember if it was 90IO or EOS, mm-hmm. that where you establish a rock.
Yep.
So you have a goal that you set. Mm-hmm. And there's goals you're going to do every 30 days, there's goals you're going to do every quarter, and then there's a yearly goal. My goal was to turn down a job because that is something that was not inside. If they sent me to a job, I was going to do it. And sometimes I would risk a little more because I didn't want to make work for somebody. And once my goal was to turn down a job, it took that weight off of my shoulders. And the first time I turned one down because we didn't have a big enough crane or the conditions weren't right, there's a lot of things that contribute. Maybe the weather wasn't right. I'm famous for working in the rain.
Yeah.
I had a guy from the Netherlands fly over to spend a week with us because he saw my videos of me smiling, cutting trees down in the rain. Like, you know.
Yeah. You're obviously a risk taker.
A little bit.
It's good to see that you have both risk-taking as well as like just playing through every possible scenario for the safety of everyone, you know, on your crew. That's awesome.
And I'm blessed enough that the only injury that I've ever seen on a job was me.
Okay. Was it when you fell?
Yeah, it was when I fell off the bucket truck. And we weren't even cutting trees down.
Yeah.
I'm just walking around on the truck.
Yeah. So crane work has definitely made tree work safer. There, you know, tree work is one of the most accident-prone careers out there, right? It can be very dangerous, especially with climbing.
Absolutely.
Mentally.
Yeah.
When you are a climber to mentally as a crane operator, which one did you find to be more stressful or like you're
being
just
a crane
talking?
Operator.
Yeah, it's like that's a lot of equipment
because
and a lot of responsibility.
When I'm climbing a tree, it's just me. Yeah. I go up there, I make the cuts.
You're the one you're concerned about, and that's it, right?
But when you start being a crane operator and you have people that you care for up in the tree, and sometimes they're highly motivated young people that aren't really afraid. I'll throw Will under the bus here. Like, we're doing a dead tree, and I'm like, hey, Will, I'm not real comfortable with this setup. I think we should regroup and try something else. And he's like, oh, dude, I trust you. You won't kill me. I'll cut it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, Will.
Yeah.
Which, Let's reset.
Yeah. For people listening, Will used to work at Bluestone Tree.
Correct,
and
yeah.
is the son of Simon, who trained you how to climb.
And I trained Will how to climb.
Nice.
He showed up as I don't know, 18-year-old. I've got the picture of the first time I put him on the crane, and his smile is touching his ears. It's fantastic.
No, that's awesome.
Now he's an iron worker, so he still works at height.
Yeah. So you train people now how to run cranes.
Yeah.
Is it all mechanical, or you have so much knowledge for the mental aspect of running a crane? Do you present that, or do you let people like have their own journey on their mental, like, learning with crane operating?
So my company now, because I saw there was a need for training for knuckle boom cranes, it's called Rise LLC, Rainwater Innovation Solutions Engineering. I fly in, I spend 2 or 3 days. My original goal was just to teach people how to run the crane, because I love the cranes. But what I've found is there's a need for more than that. When I show up, sometimes the company doesn't observe basic safety practices.
Okay.
Like OSHA required safety practices.
Oh.
Chainsaw pants, hard hat, eye protection, not sunglasses. They have to have Z87 put on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to read. I don't know if we've already covered that, but you know, I've read the ANSI, I've read the OSHA, I've read all these documents. I know what's required. I know, you know, the details of it. And I love getting into the minutia of it. So when I show up, sometimes I end up teaching basic chainsaw handling, basic felling, how to tie knots. I have, you know, cranes are the focus, but how to bid a job is something that I've shown people. So it's like sometimes I get there, and I have new best friends all over the country now.
Yeah.
I think in the last year I've been to 26 states.
Yeah.
Last night I was in Philadelphia.
Nice.
Before that I was in Wichita.
Yeah.
Like I'm meeting all these amazing entrepreneurs starting businesses, and I just love helping them not make the mistakes that I did. That ancient Chinese proverb, you know, a wise man learns from his own mistakes, but a very wise man learns from somebody else's mistakes.
Yeah. It's awesome to hear that you're going for more of the company's looking for better production with learning crane, but then you're helping to spread professionalism across the tree industry. That's awesome.
And that's the big thing. So with YouTube University becoming such a big thing now, I am shocked how many new tree companies there are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are hundreds of new tree companies. But I can tell you for a fact, you cannot learn how to safely cut a tree down from YouTube.
Yeah.
It takes experience. It really takes one-on-one training. You don't watch a YouTube video and learn how to do it safely. Kind of like the path to become a certified crane operator. What you really should do, the right way to do it, is find a crane operator and you work with them. You help them set up the truck. So over a period of months or years, you help them set up the truck, you help them tear down the truck, you're watching, you're observing. And then you get a chance to be in the seat, and they give you an easy job. You do some easy jobs. And then as you progress, you start taking on a little more skilled tasks. Until, you know, decades later, now you're the guy they call when it's one that nobody else wants to do. And that's the right way to do it. But we get so many people now that buy chainsaws, buy a truck, watch some YouTube videos, put their shingle out and say, I'm an arborist.
Yeah.
And then somebody gets hurt or a house gets crushed. I can show you hundreds of videos of trees going the wrong way because guys watched a video but didn't understand the mechanics of leaving hinge wood to steer the tree to the ground.
Yep.
You know, almost every fail video I see, they've cut their hinge. And, you know, by hinge, for the people listening, when you're cutting a tree down, you make this open face cut on one side. It's kind of a triangle mouth. And then when you cut, if say it's a 48-inch oak tree, imagine what a 2x48 board can handle. Mm-hmm. A 2-inch board, 48 inches wide, is really strong. Mm-hmm. You use that to control the tree because that 2x4 will be bendy one way and super rigid the other way. So like your floor joists, you put them up on their side, you walk on the floor, it doesn't bounce. If you lay those boards flat, they're very bendy. Mm-hmm. So when you're dropping a tree, you leave that board inside the tree that can only bend one way, mm-hmm. and it controls the tree to the ground. Mm-hmm. I watch all these videos of people's houses getting crushed, and yeah. it's because the guys cut through the hinge. Mm-hmm. It's very basic, but they didn't have somebody coaching them. They saw some things go right on YouTube, and they're like, oh, that's easy. I know how to do that. These places charge $5,000 to cut a tree down. I'm going to charge two.
Yeah.
And then the house is crushed.
No, yeah. And you have a lot bigger issue. So yeah. you need to follow the Jedi Padawan path, right?
Exactly. You know, find those Rick Patricks. Yeah. Find the Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
And work your way up gradually and take on easy tasks. And then...
And you're talking about with every form of tree work, not just crane
every
work.
Every form. Yep. And with crane work, especially, like I'll do a pre-visit phone call with the client. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, your first day, find us a tree on your property. Find mm-hmm. us a tree at, you know, family property. That the right way to cut it down would just be to drop it and clean it up. There's mm-hmm. nothing under it. There's no house you can hit. Because I want to let you safely fail mm-hmm. running your crane and be able to see some of these things that go wrong, and I'll make sure you don't hurt the truck. I'll make sure that you don't hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. But we're going to cut a tree down together in a low-risk environment so that you can see how things respond and how things move. And that way, when a client's watching, you've already had some experience.
Yeah.
And some people, I love this. So adult learning is such a beautiful pursuit. Learning how adults learn is amazing. So if you're under a lot of stress, you can't put new material, you can't put new thoughts in your head and have them stay. You're in fight or flight mode. Yep. Your amygdala is flipped and you're just in survival. For us, you know, macho tree people, you know, we're supposed to be the expert. Well, when there's an audience and there's people watching, mm-hmm. we get into that fight or flight and we're not learning from those repetitions.
Okay.
We're making those mistakes, but we're not learning because it's not seeding in our brain. It's like everything's coming out of a fire hose and we can't capture that data all at once. Mm-hmm. So I like to have a very, like, nobody watching. Mm-hmm. It's a tree that's at your own house.
Yeah.
We cut it down together. And I really focus on not making them feel judged and not making them feel watched. And I love to tell stories of my mistakes. I want to be approachable. And then it seems like people learn faster.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that. It took me a long time in my life personally to realize that when you're in fight or flight, you don't retain anything that you are trying to retain.
And something I always told the crews here at Bluestone, because this was like one of my favorite periods of my life was working here. Like mm-hmm. it's such a good community, the best coworkers. When we were doing jobs, we would get to a job and it's a throwaway. Like mm-hmm. it's an easy one.
Yeah.
You know, the guy with the pickup truck on his first day after watching a YouTube video probably could have done it. Mm-hmm. I would challenge the guys to, hey, let's do this at a very high level mm-hmm. because someday we're going to get this situation, but it's going to be like an emergency call. Mm-hmm. It's going to be life or death.
Yep.
So let's do this the same as we would do it if we had an audience. And then I love having an audience. Mm-hmm. Like when the HOAs, when all the grandparents come out and set up lawn chairs and they have all the grandkids and they're watching us cut a tree down, I love that. It actually makes me a better operator.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite phone calls, we were down at Lake Monroe. We were doing a very large job. It was like a 12 tree removal. We had half a tree left and it was going to be a very good day. And I get a phone call, quit what you're doing, come to campus.
Yeah.
There was an ash tree, a very large ash tree, splitting in half, actively failing, going to fall across 3rd Street, and potentially it could have reached the greenhouse.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know how busy that area is. Mm-hmm. Simon went out there because somebody from IU called him and said, hey, this tree is splitting. I hear it popping and I can watch the tops separate.
Yeah.
And so Simon throws a rope in it to try and secure it and ties it off and it's popping and crunching. And mm-hmm. he calls me and he's like, just drop what you're doing. I'm like, dude, I got like half hour, I'll be done. He goes, no, drop what you're doing.
Yeah.
I roll up with the crane. 3rd Street is closed. There are two cop cars right there. What is it? 3rd and is it Indiana? I don't remember.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I roll up and the cop cars back away from each other so I can come through like it's a presidential motorcade. I didn't even have to stop and say why I'm there.
Yeah.
So they back away. I roll in with the crane. I see the tree as I'm pulling in because I've done it thousands of hours.
Mm-hmm.
I know right where to set the truck up.
Nice.
I get on the radio, Will's behind me. I'm like, Will, I'm going to need you to set up the track lift here. It's just the two of us because everybody else was still cleaning up the job.
Yeah.
I swear in 45 minutes, we had that tree safely on the ground, just the two of us, and we hardly had to talk.
Yeah.
Because we had so many reps, so many practice reps that when it really mattered, every piece was perfect. Mm-hmm. And there were hundreds of people watching.
Yeah. That's, I mean, working here at Bluestone and, you know, just talking to clients, it's like, oh, I just enjoyed watching them work. It's like a, you know,
like
a ballet.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go wearing my Bluestone shirt, people are like, oh, I'm a fan.
Yeah. It's awesome. So it's like, yeah, I can imagine the pressure because, I mean, coming in with the knuckle boom is just such a, I remember that actually the first time I like driving home one day and seeing you all set up taking down a tree right after probably you started using the knuckle boom and being like, what in the world are they using? Like that saw come up and just start taking, I was like taken back by it. So I imagine as a homeowner, I would mesmerizing to watch.
We've had a lot of homeowners say, well, you should have sold tickets.
Yeah.
Because you know, once the technology has kind of matured and you know, Jared and Graydon have had multiple trucks built now, the trucks are almost perfect.
Yeah.
Now what we need is people to learn how to use them properly.
Yeah. Are there any common misconceptions that homeowners or even experienced tree workers have with like how a crane runs?
So it's not a magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
My climbing gear when I was at Bluestone was still in the crane.
Yep.
If I got to the job, I'm not in love so much with the crane that it's a crane job.
Mm-hmm.
If the right way to do it was to climb it, get my climbing gear out and climb it. So it's not going to be perfect for every job, but when you can use it,
mm-hmm.
it is by far the safest way to remove a tree. The only problem is the high cost to get started. But what I found working at Bluestone, and I have no financial connection at all to you guys anymore. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, love you guys. But I would get done with a job and 8 out of 10 times, the homeowner would be like, you guys had the lowest price.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get the lowest price when you have $1 million worth of trucks here?
Yeah.
It's like, well, because instead of one job taking us 2 days, we're doing 5 jobs a day.
Yeah.
And we're doing it with no drama. There's no yelling on my job sites.
Mm-hmm.
There's not profanity. We are professionals. We're adults. We know our jobs. And we almost don't have to talk about the work to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we can be so inexpensive and yet bring all this equipment to bear on the job.
Yeah.
And it's just a pleasure.
So Joe, you have a lot of years of experience and that makes your being an educator now so important that you have so much years of experience, so many fails, so many successes. Why did you get into RISE and teaching crane certifications?
So the logging industry used to be the most dangerous industry to work in. They mechanized and now they're one of the safer industries. They're not in the top 10 anymore. If we can take residential tree removal and mechanize it as much as possible, mm-hmm. we can get off that list. I don't want to see anybody hurt. And whenever we would bring a new hire in here at Bluestone, I would tell them, hey, I have one personal goal to finish my career, and that's nobody gets hurt on my job site.
Yep.
So, you know, everything else is negotiable. Nobody's getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is rule number one. A way that we can move that forward is we need to make this industry more professional. And I strongly believe that, like, certifications are a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy is a lot of the people that buy cranes, they don't understand that you have to be a licensed crane operator by, you know, OSHA doesn't do licensing, but mm-hmm. OSHA has specifications for what licensing requires.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize they have to have a license. To me, while you're waiting for that crane to be built, while you're waiting to take delivery, go get certified.
Mm-hmm.
Go become a certified crane operator. It doesn't mean that you're a great operator. What it means is you are willing to take that step to be a professional, to learn the basics, to learn the bare minimums,
mm-hmm.
so that when you go out in the field, you've got a foundation. Because, you know, we all know certified arborists that don't climb trees. We know certified arborists that, you know, don't make great cuts. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're the greatest thing that ever happened. What it means is you have a willingness to learn and a willingness to advance the craft to the next level of professionalism. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do this right, you become a certified arborist. Mm-hmm. You wear your personal protective gear that's required by law. If you get a crane, you become a certified crane operator. Before you've ran the crane, you become a certified crane operator. I know mm-hmm. it sounds wrong. You're like, why would we give licenses to people that don't actually know how to run cranes? No, we're giving that license to somebody that is going to be a professional about it.
Yeah, who reads the manual, right?
Who reads the manual that will pay attention to detail mm-hmm. and wants to do jobs today better than they did yesterday because mm-hmm. they're going to learn every day of their life and not just repeat.
Yeah.
And so those certifications are huge. And a lot of people thought, hey, you know, this emerging technology, it's not really a crane because it's really a log loader with a claw on it and cranes mm-hmm. have a hook and a cable. Well, when somebody gets hurt on your job site, mm-hmm. yes, OSHA will fine you, all that kind of stuff. If somebody got hurt, there's going to be a civil trial also. When you look at the front cover of the operator's manual that came with that truck, it says crane on it. Mm-hmm. You try and tell 12 people that are deciding, you know, how bad this is, that it's not a crane because it had a claw and a chainsaw. Mm-hmm. No, it says crane on the cover of the owner's manual. It's a crane. Mm-hmm. So OSHA is a little behind the times mm-hmm. because this is an emerging technology and they're a responsive organization. Their stuff is written in blood. When somebody gets hurt, you get more laws.
Yep.
We're lucky enough that these cranes have made things safer and we're not heavily on the radar yet, but we're working our way there because we've gone from one truck in like 2015 or earlier to thousands in 10 years. Mm-hmm. We're going to be on the radar. What we need to do is establish ourselves as professionals. It's like when I was young doing tree work, I hated going to like union job sites because nobody wants you there.
Yeah.
You're obviously just a guy with a chainsaw and a pickup truck and we would get no respect. I love being sent to the bigger the job site, the better. The more people with clipboards and high-vis vests, the better because I want to impress them.
Yeah.
I'm going to show up with a lift plan. I'm going to show up knowing the capacities and the capabilities of my truck and my crew. I'm going to show up wearing my safety glasses, my chainsaw pants, and my hard hat. Mm-hmm. My tools are going to be sharp and well-oiled and prepared the night before. Like, it's not an amateur hour. It's professional time. And that's how we get respect built in the industry.
Yeah.
And now, you know, any job we show up to, because you know we'll do clearing for construction companies, we'll do stuff at the hospital, wherever, factories in town. I feel like we've earned the respect. People know who Bluestone is at this point. And it's such a different feeling than when I was just a kid that was faking it till I made it.
Yeah, yeah. So as an ISA certified arborist, do you have continuing education with the certification for a crane operator? Does it continue to try to help fight overconfidence or like...
Yeah, so your crane operator license is, you basically just have to do a test again every couple of years.
Okay.
It's not like with the ISA where you have to have your continuing education credits, mm-hmm. but I think those are hilarious. When I first got started with the ISA, I struggled to get enough CEUs to renew every, was it 3 years?
It's every 3 years, yeah.
I don't have to pay attention now because like I renewed like less than a year ago,
yep.
I have like 90 CEUs already.
Does your like teaching through the certification help like that, build those?
And or? I just love going to classes.
Oh, and you go to so many conferences.
I go to all the conferences. And when I'm not teaching a session, mm-hmm. I'm in everybody else's session.
I mean, in the tree industry, it's like, it's great that it's there because everything's it's ever changing.
Yes.
And, you know, there's so many new equipment and coming out.
And we're learning so many things that we didn't really know before. Mm-hmm. You know, standards have changed on pruning.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
It's just incredible. And I was just at Arborfest, which if you don't go to Arborfest, get your act together and go to Arborfest. It is so much fun. Imagine like the TCIA's big meeting, but more climber focused, more employee focused, more family focused, and mm-hmm. not as like industry principal focused. Like it was so good. And they have almost every class revolves around safety there.
Yeah.
And some of my favorite speakers were there. It's funny, once you've been in this for a long time, you can look through the list of speakers and you're like, oh, I'm going there. Because you know who is a dynamic speaker and who's going to bring you new information every time. And it's not going to be the same speech that you got in November, in April. You're going to get something new because they're still learning.
Yeah.
Oh, it's... Yeah, it's never ending.
I've only been able to go so far to the one in St. Louis last year, but
it's the big daddy of them all. It is an amazing event, but I want to go to all of them.
I know. I was exhausted.
Yes, I had my own booth and I was teaching.
Yeah, it's like I definitely was so excited to go to classes. So by the end, I was like overwhelmed by so many people just being there and then just absorbing so much knowledge. But it was so much fun.
Yes. One other kind of just like side thing, but it's not really a side thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love when it gets to be less about competition and more about working together.
Yeah.
So like as Bluestone grew, you know, Matt had his own business. Simon had his own business.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't feel like we competed with each other. If there was a job that suited those guys before they worked here, I would just tell the client, you know what, you need to call Simon. He's going to do the kind of work that you need.
Yeah.
And everybody has kind of a niche.
Mm-hmm.
And if instead of being competitors in this market, if companies and people can work together to further the industry and send each other the jobs that suit them, it's like, you know, a particular landscaping company, people think of it as just landscaping, but it's not one thing. It's much more granular. You've got companies that are really good at planting big trees. You got companies that are really good at doing detailed work. You know, find the right person for the job. It's like, you know, a hammer isn't the right tool for every job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want the right tool for the job. And here, you know, at Bluestone, like there are some jobs that I would rather send to a buddy of mine that can maybe give a different style of service, because even people's personalities, you can customize who you send to do that work.
Yeah.
But it's not competition. It's working together to make sure everybody moves forward safely and efficiently.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of trusted relationships in this community in the tree care industry in like Bloomington, Indiana specifically, where we send work, you know, to people that perhaps it doesn't make sense for, you know, a crew of five people to show up to do that work.
Yeah. Whereas then, like a guy with a pickup truck might be the right guy for the job.
Yeah. And then that guy sends like that massive tree standing right next to the house that they don't feel safe to do anything with.
Yeah, exactly. Then they call us and have us come.
Yeah. So it's a nice community here.
It's something my wife talks about, and it's really your mindset. Do you have a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't really want to compete for resources. I feel like they're out there. What we need to do is distribute them fairly and in the right places. Like I don't want every job. Yeah. I want the right jobs for me.
Yeah.
It's like I coordinate really well. I actually work with another company, New Jersey Crane Experts, and they are very safety focused. In fact, on my story yesterday, I posted a picture. Guy was wearing his chainsaw pants, his safety glasses, his hard hat, but his chin strap wasn't buckled on his hard hat.
Oh.
And I got like 7 messages last night of, hey, that chin strap wasn't fastened.
Yeah.
And I love that. I giggled every time because it's like, you know what? In the moment, I forgot to ask the guy to fasten his chin strap.
Yeah.
And here it is. All my coworkers at New Jersey Crane are so safety focused that, you know, there's an $800,000 crane in the picture. The guy's got the remote on. They saw the chin strap. And I love that.
Yeah.
And they're not competitors because they have a company that trains knuckle boom crane operators also. But we both want the industry to move forward in the best way possible. So we're not competitors. Like, I love going and training for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I get my own gigs, they're not upset I get my own gigs. It's what the industry needs is people to work together and all move forward together.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
beautiful when it works.
Yeah. That's what I got from my one time so far at TCIA too. It's, you know, you're living in different towns. You're not necessarily like local competitors, but just how everybody was so open to share experiences, new advancements, and just trying to grow the industry itself and not just themselves and their company.
Absolutely. So. I had the opportunity to train two tree companies 6 miles from each other last year.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting because although they're competitors with similar skill sets, bidding on the same jobs, they actually communicate well.
That's good.
They're not colluding. They're not like setting prices. They're still competing, but some jobs will fit one company better than the other. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what an amazing mindset instead of, I'm the greatest tree guy that ever was, and you're terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get some people in this industry that are very, their head's big.
Yeah. So Joe, what advice would you give someone wanting to become a crane operator in tree care?
Oh, so the same way I would tell somebody, you know, a homeowner, like interview your tree companies. So do they show up equipped properly? Is the equipment clean? Do they have their proper safety gear? So if you're somebody that's passionate about getting into the industry, don't feel like you have to take the first job you get. Interview companies. Find out who cares about safety, who cares about their people. Find out, you know, are they cutting corners? Are they more concerned about the bottom line than you coming home at night? You know, and there are basic, there are pass-fail items. If as a homeowner, you see guys on the job not wearing hard hats, doing aerial work, not wearing chainsaw chaps and running chainsaws, or they don't have eye protection on, fire them. Throw them off your property. You can become liable for those people getting injured on your property. And so as somebody that's getting into the industry, don't go work for a hack.
Yeah.
Find somebody that does it right. And the way you'll know it, they do it right is clean and well-maintained equipment, safety gear, and you can feel it in the culture. You know, if you can find a boss that says, if it's not safe, don't do it, you found a winner.
Which you did, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And start at the bottom and work your way up. You're not going to get a seat. We call it a seat when you're a crane operator, but we run remote control cranes, so there's not really a seat. But you don't get a seat on your first day. Show up, help set up and tear down the crane, drag brush, rake. Now, I was dragging brush yesterday in Philly. It's in my blood. I'm there to train, but like we're doing a job together. And nobody is above running a rake and a blower and dragging brush.
No, and plus like, just like learning the culture's like communication is so important, especially when you're going to be like responsible for all their
lives. And on your first
lives.
Day, like most tree companies now have radios built into their hard hats. Just listen. You know, when you're new that first day, just listen, hear the banter. Get a feel for it, and you know people will start asking about you, and then it's your chance to talk on a radio, and read the manual for every piece of equipment they give you.
That's today's lesson, right?
That's right. Everybody. So my whole life, people are like, "Oh, you're smart," and I've never felt very smart. I just read the manual.
It's
not rocket science.
Yeah, I am like a super rule follower. I like my like follow through and like research part of my like brain is like where I go. I have a really hard time with like manuals outside of like my work life when it has to do with, you know, I'm quite the opposite. If it's like I buy this thing and I need to build it, I'm just like, I'll figure this out. I don't care. And it's
like, I buy a used car. Nobody's ever read the manual. I can't tell you how many manuals are brand new. When I'm flying into a training, I can do 6 consecutive trainings on the exact same crane.
And you still read the manual?
I read the manual on the airplane way there.
That's awesome.
It's kind of like anything else you read. Every time you read it, you're going to find something new.
Yeah.
And it's something else that's become kind of a personal hobby is seeing the progression of the owner's manuals and the content in them. So I've seen over the years, as knuckle booms have developed in the United States, how they've changed the manual.
Okay.
And it's so fascinating seeing the changes they've made based on problems that may have happened here in the United States that they don't see over there.
Okay.
We're kind of cowboys here.
Yeah.
we kind of find the ragged edge of what something can do, and that's not really the European mindset.
Yeah.
You know, they want to have like ratings for everything and work within this structure, and we're like, well, what'll it really do? You know, you told me it can pick 1,000 pounds 100 foot away.
If I...
But what Does that mean it can actually do 1,500?
Yeah.
You know, that's the American mindset.
Yeah, yeah. It's like run a dingo, and if it tips forward, just have someone stand on the back with you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the American way that we do it.
Yeah. So besides reading a manual, at the end of the day, what do you hope people take away from your training?
The most important thing is going home safe.
Nice.
There is no reason to risk hurting yourself. And some of these things are life-changing.
Yeah.
You know, it one small error in judgment because you didn't do your JSA. You didn't do your job site assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see that power line before you cut that 2-inch limb with your handsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Those are life-changing things.
Yeah.
So, and I have no room for it. If you're not going to observe basic safety practices, find a different job. Find something else. You got to take care of yourself. And that starts the night before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't go out and party all night.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stay up all night. Whenever I would have a big job, I'd make sure I ate a great dinner the night before. I'm not staying up late. I'm not drinking. And when I come to work, I am ready to do this job and do it to the best of my ability and make sure that everybody goes home safe at the end of the day. Like this is a passion.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not just a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome. Thank you, Joe. I really appreciate talking to you today. And yeah, I can see why you're a good crew leader.
Dude, so. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
I love the smell of sawdust.
Yeah.
You know, from every part of it. And I love talking to the clients. I have met the most amazing people in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I've worked at houses that were, home built, and I've worked at $100 million mansions and everywhere in between. And it's amazing. Yeah. It's a great industry to be in.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me out.
Yeah,
I love
thanks
it.
For coming.
Awesome.
That wraps up today's conversation with Joe Rainwater of Rise. Huge thanks to Joe for taking the time to share his experiences, insights, and perspective on crane work in a borrow culture. Crane-assisted tree work is one of the clearest examples of how skill, communication, trust, and safety all have to work together in real time. Hopefully, this episode gave you a deeper appreciation not only for the technical side of the work, but also for the mental and emotional responsibility that comes with operating heavy equipment around people, property, and crews. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow Acorn to Oak wherever you listen to podcasts. And feel free to share with someone in the tree industry who'd enjoy the conversation. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.